Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Manifest as sons of God at this time. We should not postpone the manifestation. This is the time to manifest. Praise the Lord. So on that note, we are going to quickly go into the word. For context, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created man, and His purpose for creating man is for man to be like Him.
Yes.
To be like Him and His full image. And when the enemy came and tried what he tried, he didn't know that God had a second plan. And that plan is fully with us. And I feel that is why God is saying, we should start manifesting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to manifest that, we need His nature. So God's nature, the Bible says, God is love. God is light. Whatever God says, the purpose is the same. Now, we are going to quickly look at the commandment of God. When I say the commandment of God, I'm talking about the new commandment.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let's quickly... I think it's, if we go to Mark Gospel, I prefer the account in Mark Gospel of the New Commandment. Is it in Mark 12? They just help me because I'm not really. The new commandment that Jesus gave.
Mark 12:21.
Okay, let's read from verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first? Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the question is, why is God giving this commandment? The same God that gave the commandments to Moses is now giving us another commandment. Why? Because we have seen that the other commandment, the way it was given, was not fashioned to bring God to be like him, to be his image and his likeness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why do you think God is thinking so? He's thinking so because we need to manifest as the sons of God. We need ingredients. Ingredients of nature. Without that, we cannot manifest like our God. And he says, this is the time he came to fulfill the law. And he has done his with the body. He said, this is the time. So there's no time to delay anymore. See yourselves differently. Let us have a mindset that is changed. That the time to manifest is tomorrow, is next week. It's not ourselves. It's a generation that is yet to come. No, it is we. So he said, love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart. What is he saying? There is nothing you and I, our brother was talking about power to go forth into the nations and preach this word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How do we get that power? It's through the nature of our God. And so he came to expand shit. He said, look, now I came down, not minding who you are. By love, I have given all. You too must give all. Jesus, when he was dying, didn't tell the Father, you see, the people that I'm to save, there are people that are beating me, there are people that are crucifying me, there are people that are doing all. He didn't say that. Why is he not saying that? And so he came to tell us, look, my Father has a love nature that is unconditional. You to your love must be unconditional. So whoever it is, it can be a Hindu, can be a Muslim, can be anybody. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So our love should be such that we are not selective who is loving us. He told the disciples, if you love those that love you, are you different from the publicans?
No.
You are not different.
No.
So he's coming to bring us into a new nature, which is his nature.
Mm-hmm.
That is why he told us all that Jesus Christ was explaining is just his commandment. That we should love those that persecute us, those that despitefully use us. It is his commandment he's explaining to us. And why was it taking time to break down these things in several scriptures? It's because he wants us to manifest. And this is the time. Let us not postpone it. Let us not postpone it. Young people, I have a special word for you. Now, the situations that are around us are after our souls. And we must be very, very mindful of that. Young men, take the young sisters as your sisters. Let your mind be fully formed to love the younger sisters as your sisters. You must learn that in the house of God. So that when you go out, you'll be able to exhibit that. Younger sisters, please, take the young brothers as your brothers in the house. This is where you equip yourself. If you do not learn that, you cannot go outside and manifest God. This is the place to receive of the Lord. This is the place of strength. This is the place to build. Let us not take anything for granted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now Jesus, in explaining his commandment, he said, look, do you know that if you talk evil about somebody, you have killed the person? That when you talk backbite somebody, that you have killed the person. So what is he telling us? We should not talk evil about ourselves. We should not talk evil about others. But if God is telling us that, why does he allow us to see him? Have we asked ourselves? Why is God allowing us to perceive evil? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God is doing several things to achieve one purpose, for us to be like him. So that when we see evil, when he allows us to see evil, he is demanding something from us that we cry to him, we sigh to him for the change that will come upon the earth, that the kingdoms of this earth will be our Lord's kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God wants us to change. There should be a transition from the corrupted world where Satan is the prince to the world of light where Jesus Christ is the prince. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So little by little, he goes to explain his commandment. Amen. And it is very, very vital. Amen. That every word that we hear, we remember his answer to the devil in the wilderness. So that every single word that comes out of the mouth of God will receive life. This word that we have, there is nothing more than it. It is the only book that God wrote. I hope we know that. Every word that comes out of this book gives life and strength. Let us abide by it. Every word that we have here comes with power. We pray for power, is it not so?
Yes.
God is going to give to us.
Amen.
He wants the circumcision of the heart to take place.
Yeah.
There are hindrances.
Yeah.
There are hindrances. And the hindrance is so strong, it is called self.
Yeah.
It is so strong that whenever God wants to do something, it comes like a giant. And our minds align with it so easily. You remember, God gave 2 tablets of laws to Moses. Jesus has come to write his word on 2 tablets also, our heart and our mind. So these two must change.
Yes, sir.
And how do we get the change?
That is the word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, God has laid the foundation. He has built it up. It's for us to take hold of it. We do not really need our strength. We need to obey. We need to obey. In obedience, what do we need is to give ourselves. Now, let us quickly look at one scripture. In Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 101 verse 10.
It reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about this scripture in another way. Now, when we give ourselves to God, he puts his fear inside of us. And do you know what his fear does? His fear gives us understanding. Not just understanding, good understanding. So that when I want to use my lips, I will not use it on things that will defile me.
Amen.
I will use this my lips to bless,
Amen.
To praise our God.
Amen.
I will not use it for other things. When I want to think about my brother, all that I'm thinking about my brother must be to bless him. Must be to support him by praying and blessing him. My brother may not know, my sister may not know, but that is what he has called us to. And that comes by fearing God. When you fear God, God will give you good understanding and you will begin to do his commandments. And that is what this scripture is telling us. So let us give ourselves to God.
Amen.
You remember the Israelites? After boasting, and nations came against them, and there was the thought of also getting others to help them. But they said, no, we have just boasted that our God can do all things. Why are we going to, what faith do we have to even meet the king that this is what we need? And the word of God says, they gave themselves to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That they gave themselves to God. As they gave themselves to God, what happened? God went into battle. The army that seemingly was greater in number and stronger was defeated by a small group of people. And that God is the same God that we are worshiping today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so what we need to do is to give ourselves, fear him. Let's go to another scripture again. I will soon end. Because we are strength to one another. We are strength to one another. There is somebody that is fighting us. We should not join him. The moment you begin to speak evil about one person, know that you are on the enemy's side. It is very dangerous. Do not ever think of it. Say, this sister is this, this brother is this. You are killing yourself because you have removed yourself from the side of God to the devil's side. It is very dangerous because we have an enemy who is fighting us. When we see somebody stumbling in our midst, know that there is an overwhelming darkness that is influencing that brother or that sister. What we need to do is to stand in prayers to deliver that one.
Amen.
So that when we deliver him, when it is our own tongue, when we overwhelmed, the body will also pray and deliver us.
Amen.
That means we must have an attitude. As the body, we must have an attitude of protecting one another. An attitude of standing for one another. So let's quickly turn to Revelation 12. Who we are going to start from verse 13 to 17 and Colossians 12. It would have been better we read the whole, but time is not an answer. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with her remnant, with the remnant of her seed. This is talking about us. You know, in Revelation, when woman is mentioned, it is talking about the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so now, he could not hold the head, Jesus Christ. And now his anger is upon the remnant, upon the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just finish it. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Talking about us. And that is the war. And that is what befalls some Christians. You hear a child of God, this brother has fallen. Please, let us cry. Let us not talk about that brother. If we talk about him, we are joining the devil to further kill, nail the coffin of that brother or that sister.
Jesus.
And God will be very, very angry. And you know the position you are at that point. So let us not try it. If we see one falling, let us be on our knees. We must deliver that one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is an opening God has made so that we'll see what he's been talking about his love. God has just made us to see it, that his love knows no end. Mm-hmm. It does not matter who you're showing love to. It's just like the relationship between man and God. Said it's like the relationship between Jesus and the church. You cannot separate it. You know, God's word is infallible. Look at it from every angle. It says the same thing and it remains the same. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we have a duty to stand at the back of each other. Stand at the back of your wife. Stand at the back of your husband. Stand at the back of your brother. Stand at the back of your sister. In this fellowship, we must go out as a strong army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men will see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in us, because God is depositing precious and godly blessings, godly gifts.
Amen.
And we must handle them with care, preciously. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us not think that this is, you know, a business as usual. The music has changed. The music has changed. And every man must turn wholly unto God.
Hallelujah.
With two hands.
Amen.
Say that in the book of Acts 24:16, you know, God was saying that I might have clear conscience between God and man always. What is the use? I come and smile at my brother. And when I go out of this place, I am saying things differently. I am a hypocrite. And God hates hypocrites more than ordinary sinners. Because hypocrites cannot be converted. Hypocrites, it's very difficult to convert them. But a sinner can easily accept his sin and return to God. So let us hold this faith dearly.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please, I'm sorry, Drew, I'm speaking. I am a fanatic.
Carry on, sir. Carry on, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is the only one I gossip. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let us know that our lives have changed.
Amen.
And it must manifest in everything that we do. Do you know that everything that we do has a reference in this Bible?
Oh, yes.
Even the worship that we had here has a reference. We must come with a clear heart before God. The reference is what? That you obeyed God or you disobeyed God. It is here. Everything that we do in life, the things that we do in our closets, in our rooms, on the road, wherever, is here. So, which reference are you drawing from this word of God? Which reference? You must draw a reference that is in obedience with this word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God is calling us. Let us accept him wholeheartedly. The power he has given us, we need to grow in it from strength to strength. And as much as we open up, we shall receive.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. I believe that God, by his word, will bless us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
God
bless you,
sir. Jesus.
For a king.
Stand up for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord gave me Hebrews chapter 12 2 years ago, where it says everything that's going to be shaken is going to be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken will remain. So the Lord began to tell me to buy silver. He wants us to buy silver because the economy is going to fall. Even though you've got oil in Nigeria, and we've got oil, we've got all the, we see, it can't fall. It can't fall in Canada, but it will. And we will be cashless by 2021. This will buy two of these right now. Amen? Amen. So which one do you think is real?
The silver.
No. This is real.
No?
No.
No.
You give this at the store. Amen?
Amen.
So, is this real?
Yeah, it is.
No, it is not. There's nothing bad behind this. Right now, it seems real. But it's going to fall.
Yes.
You see that? You see that? How many here are not working? How many here are not working? Count them. Somebody count them for me.
I am retired.
Huh? I am retired too, yeah. I mean, you don't have a job. Okay, how many? Count, somebody count.
14,
all right. Okay, so you have to, even if you only buy one a payday or whenever you can afford it, this will outperform gold when the economy falls. This will rise higher than the price of gold. Because God is going to bring us back to a silver and gold currency.
I've been saying that to my children. I don't know why. But I've been saying it that we should be collecting it.
Yes, silver and gold, land. You've got land in Nigeria. Hang on to it. Now the Holy Ghost is on me. See, when I stand up and I start to speak, the Holy Ghost is on me. I'm not speaking from my flesh. So you have to understand this. It doesn't matter. Even if you can buy it once a month. I go to silvergoldbullion.ca and I just phone them up And they take and they send me the information, the banking information. And I go to the bank and they trade it, they exchange me silver for gold. So you're gonna need this, and it's very cheap right now.
Yeah.
You won't be able to buy it when this falls. It'll go sky high. Amen. So this is what I'm saying. We're going to. You have to understand this. If you're business minded. Yes, have some cash, but also put some silver away. Now, another thing is that, do you know that this is where the church will end up in all the houses?
Yeah.
Because of persecution? This is the house church.
Yes.
This is how God is going to end up. We're going to end up worshiping God in our houses because of the laws that are going to pass in Canada, United States, where it's going to be illegal to be a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that the Word of God is pure. Amen? And as silver refined in a furnace seven times. Amen? The words of the Lord are pure words, and silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And that furnace of earth is a very, very hot fire. So what they would do is that they would... You're just taking my word for it that this is silver. But if we wanted to prove that it was silver. See, I'm taking your word that you're Christians. Amen. But if I wanted to prove you were Christians, amen, I'd have to watch you when you go through the fire. It's okay to dance, amen. You don't want to see me dance. You don't want to see that. You know, it's okay to sing and worship God. And that's all wonderful. Amen. But what are you like when you're in the fire? Mm. Amen? Is that when the worry and the fear come up to the surface? Because when you drop this into the fire, the first time, all the impurities are, when it gets melted in that heat, all the impurities are going to come to the surface. Amen? All the unbelief. Amen? All the insecurities. All the fears, all the worries. Everything's going to, and God's going to let it come to the surface. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the first time you go into a trial. And then the Bible says that the Word of God is tried as silver in a furnace seven times. So what they would do, the silversmith, what he would do, or the man refining it, which is the Holy Ghost, he would drop it into the fire, and they would sweep away the whatever came to the surface. They let it cool down. Amen? Because God knows you can't take all the heat all at once. Amen?
Amen.
How many know that?
Amen.
How many know that?
Amen.
This is not what I want to preach about today, but I'm talking to you. So then he drops you in again. Amen?
Amen.
And he turns it up a little higher. And again, what comes to the surface? Maybe because there's no power in your life, faith worketh by love. Amen?
Amen.
So God deals with yourself, with who you love and who you don't love. Like our brother said, you cannot pick and choose who you love. Amen?
Amen?
Even those that hurt you in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world. You still have to love them. So God drops you in again. Hallelujah. He drops you in until seven times. Perfect completion. Till he can see himself in you. Amen?
Amen.
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 He's got to, he's got to see you in him, and you've got to see that you are in him.
Amen.
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 So I wanted to share that with you, but that's not what I want to talk about this morning. But I'll share one more thing for you because I'll share a few things here. When the children of Israel came up to the Jordan River and the Holy Ghost had led them to that obstacle, the Jordan River, amen?
Amen.
And then the Lord cut everything off. He opened the waters. The priests took the Ark of the Covenant. They walked down. They were holding the glory of God. And they walked down into the River of Jordan. As soon as their feet touched the River Jordan, the Jordan opened up. So the glory of God is in the Jordan. Because the Ark is the glory of God, amen? And everything up to Adam was cut off.
Yeah, that's true.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everything was cut off. And the generation that disobeyed God at Kadesh Barnea, and they wouldn't go in and fight the giants, and they disobeyed, and even though the report from Joshua and Caleb was a strong report, amen, full of faith, another spirit, like Stephen, full of faith and power, amen. And they went down into that river. They crossed, millions crossed. And that generation that was born in the wilderness, as soon as they got on the other side of Gilgal, across the river, they were sharpening the knives for circumcision.
Yes.
Sharpening the knives. Sharpening the knives. And there, they came out on the other side. So they went down into the death. Walked past the Ark of the Covenant. Think about that. When you walk by Jesus, he sees and knows everything. And they walked up the other side. This is the death. We are crucified with Christ. We're going down. That's all. That direction is death. We're going into the glory of God. We're planted in his death, and we're raised in his likeness in his resurrection. We go up the other side. That's resurrected life. And there they started to circumcise all those that were born in the wilderness. Amen? They cut off the foreskin. It was a hill of foreskins. Millions of them. And why did God do that? Because they were going to face Jericho. Jericho is the place of Satan's stronghold. Amen? And that they were going to face Jericho. So they cut off the flesh. So we have to cut off the flesh. Amen? You're going to face the enemy. You're going to face Jericho. You must submit to the Holy Ghost and allow him to take the knife of the word and cut off the flesh. Amen? Don't take the knife yourself, because it's like laying on a doctor. You're in an operating room and the doctor's about to cut you open, and you grab his hand and you say, "No, I'll do it." How many would like that? So don't try to circumcise yourself. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Because you'll end up in pieces. Submit to the Holy Spirit and the circumcision of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Not the circumcision of man. When you're under the law, you're trying to do something for God. When you're under grace, it's all done, and God does it through you.
Hallelujah.
Amen? So when they cut off that foreskin, they cut off that flesh, and it began to stink right away in the hot sun. So 3 days is usually how long they have to rest. So here's my point. After 3 days, you can't go back to that hill of foreskins and find your foreskin and put it back on. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You have to leave the flesh behind.
Amen.
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 You can't reattach it.
No.
You have to leave it behind. And believe me, our flesh is like a pile of foreskins in the nostrils of God, rotting in the sun. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I just love you with the love of the Lord.
Amen.
No. That's my flesh. Amen. Amen. See what I'm getting at? Superficial, artificial. Like plastic rose, but no fragrance. Amen? Superficial. Artificial. Phony. Baloney. Amen? I told you how I tried to be like somebody else. Amen? I told you that. How I tried to be like Jimmy Swaggart, and it didn't work. Amen? But now I want Christ's likeness. Christ's likeness is only available when you take up the cross.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. You should stop there. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, you can't go back to your flesh. When the water was changed to wine, by a supernatural work of the Lord, the wine would never be water again. The Word of God is in you. You are that vessel full of the Word of God. And God is transforming you supernaturally and changing you from the old life to the new life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I can't go back and do what I used to do. Amen?
Amen?
I can't think the way I used to think. So one day my wife and I were driving into town. We drive into town about 40 kilometers every time to go buy groceries, and somebody cut me off. Where's our drivers? Amen. Look at that guy. He's an idiot. What an idiot. Cut me off like that. My wife said to me, did that old man get out of the grave today? Is he driving right now? Whoa. I said, yes, yes. And all the women said, amen. And all the men said, oh my. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are we still together?
Yes.
Okay. I want to share one little more thing, and then I'm going to preach a little bit to you. You've got to remember these things from the Holy Spirit. When Thomas put his, when Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless he does what? What did he have to do? And what else?
He put his
on his side. All right. Jesus is the storehouse. Unto me, the least of all the saints, was given this grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jesus is the storehouse. Whatever we need is in Christ. Complete. Now when Jesus laid down on the cross, he laid down perfect eyes. When he laid down on the cross, he laid down a perfect ears. Perfect skin. Sinless and holy. Perfect lips, teeth. Perfect heart, organs, lungs, kidneys, legs, nerves, joints, bones, marrow, everything. Amen?
Amen.
Then, when after he became sin, he knew no sin, and then he became sin for us, and he was risen from the dead, amen? He appeared to his disciples, and Thomas says, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my finger in his nail and in his wounded side. Amen? So, what the Lord showed me one time, because I was studying the benefits of his blood, and his side was wounded open. The water and the blood ran out together. Amen? So Thomas put his hand into the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not the dead body, but the glorified body. So the Lord challenged me. And he began to say, Kim, put your hand by faith into me. I'm your storehouse. So if I put my hand into Jesus Christ, if he was standing here right now, and I put my hand by faith into Jesus Christ, and I needed a lung. Let's say I needed a just one disc from a backbone. Whatever I could find in there, amen? Maybe somebody I was praying for needed intestines. Maybe they had cancer of intestines. But when I, in Christ, there is no cancer. But if I put my hand in Christ by faith and belief, and I pull out those intestines and I put them in to the person that needs them, amen, by faith, amen. How many times could I do that?
Just
once. Huh?
Just once.
Is he unlimited?
Yes.
Okay, but I'm saying, say there was 10 people with cancer,
okay,
and then I needed 10 new intestines. Does he have 10?
Yes.
Would it diminish him?
No.
So, but if I try to put intestines in him without being connected to Christ, amen, it's going to be messy.
Yes.
You understand what I'm getting at?
Yes.
So if I could get up inside and get his eyes, how many pairs of eyes could Jesus give you?
As many as I need.
As many as we need. Because you can't diminish him.
Amen.
He's omnipotent.
He's a treasure house.
He's the storehouse, and the treasure is in us, the earthen vessel. And we make that contact with him by faith. Amen?
Amen.
So I give you something to meditate on there. But I'm not talking today about what I'm talking about. I want to talk to you what he wants to talk to you about. Which is Matthew 25. And we'll go quickly through it. You understand what I'm getting at here today?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 25. The parable of the ten virgins. Matthew 25. Could someone bring me my water? Did I bring my water? No. Could someone bring me my water? Thank you very much, Eli. Thank you. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Amen?
Amen.
Five of them were wise and five were foolish, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. All right. A lot of times, when we're looking at marriage now, we're going to talk about Jewish marriage. What went on in the Jewish marriage? What you're reading there is part two. There is a part one to this whole procedure. So, in a Jewish wedding, Jesus picked it up at part two, when they're about ready to meet the bridegroom. But there is a part one. So, let's say Taiwo and Philip, let's say they wanted to get married. Amen?
Amen.
Let's say that happened. Amen. So, if I represent, you know, so what they would have to do, what Philip would have to do, is Philip would have to talk to his father and say, "I found a fair maiden." Amen. And he would say, "I want to. This is the woman that I want to marry." And the father would examine, knows that house and knows that family, and it has to be a Jewish family. And we're not to marry outside of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're not to marry Muslims. Or anything else. We're to marry,
in the
Christians. Amen? Amen? So he would have to go with the father, and the father and him would say, okay, and they would discuss it. He says, okay, now I have to arrange a meeting with the bride's family. So Philip and his father would come together, and they would go across into the village, and they would arrange a meeting. And in that meeting, they would have to, he would say, this is the bride that I've chosen. Philip is saying, this is my choice. But the bride has something to say about this. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the first thing they do is they pull out a covenant, a contract, a marriage covenant. Not a marriage license, a marriage covenant, which is far more meaningful. Amen? And on that covenant is listed all the promises that the bridegroom is going to make to the bride. He's going to say, I'm going to love you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you. And because he wants her, because they're going to come together and reproduce the fruit of her womb. Amen? To reproduce Jewish children. So, now, the father of the bride, which would be me, amen, I would examine that, and I would say, well, who is this young man, amen? He's got to get that check mark, like Samuel was saying, amen? Got to get that check mark. So, there's an examination there, and the father then says, the father of the bride and the father of bridegroom, they then agree on a price to pay for the bride. You're worth something, ladies. You're not unworthy. You're not valueless. You are worthy. So on all those promises, so when me and my wife got married, we began to say, dear darling wife forever. Amen? Dear darling wife forever, I thank God for you, I trust you, I love you, and I need you. That'll stop divorce. Amen?
Amen?
You should say that. And she used to say to me, dear darling husband forever, I thank God for you, I love you, I need you, I thank you, I bless you in the name of Jesus. You see what I mean? That's what you're talking about here. those promises are very important. So the father would then, they would settle on a price. They would say, this is the price that we have to pay. So then Philip and his father would say, okay, we accept that price. We agree on that price. No problem. Next step is that they have to then say to the bride now, there's a cup on the table, and the bride says, they say to the bride, like they, the parents of Rebecca said to her, will you go with this man? Will you accept this man? So she, will you accept this man to be your husband? Amen? And to, in the covenant agreement. And covenant is big in the Middle East. It's really big talk. So she would say, I accept him. Then they would pour a glass of that wine, and the families would agree. She would drink that wine. And that sealed the covenant. That ratified and activated that covenant. And then they would sign the covenant. There was three copies, one for his family, one for her family, and one for the synagogue. And at that moment, they are legally married. They have not come together to consummate the marriage, but under that covenant, under that agreement, they are legally married, just like Joseph and Mary were legally married, but they had not come together. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And remember, Joseph thought to put her away, but God stopped him because of that covenant. He said, no, no, don't put her away. Don't divorce her. So if that bride was unfaithful, then he could evoke the covenant. Amen? So now what happens is that he says to her and she says to him, amen, thank you, amen. And now they are betrothed, they are married legally, and they can't be broken. Then he gives her gifts. Then he gives her gold or silver, material, perfume, ornaments, all for her to look beautiful on her wedding day. Amen? And then he says, I go back to my father's house now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may come. Amen? See that? That's marriage talk. I go back to my father's house to prepare a place for you. And what he would do, they would separate for about a year, even sometimes longer. And during that time, in his father's house, he would build an apartment on the side of the house. And that would be their honeymoon suite when their wedding day comes. You see? And what she does, right away, she goes into a water, like a baptism, a mikvah it's called. There's a lot of Jewish names there. I don't want to get all that. And she would submerge herself completely in that water, wash away all of that, and then she would dress and she would put on veils and she would say, I'm now married and I'm not available for anybody else. I am a chaste virgin for him. Now, you understand when Tamar threw ashes on her veils, she's saying, I'm not a chaste virgin anymore. See? When she threw ashes on her veil, she's saying, I can't get married. You can now, this is Old Testament. But what I'm getting at is this, that then the bride on her wedding night, they would put a white linen sheet under her so that when they did consummate that marriage, the blood would prove her virginity. Okay? All right, so that's part one. That's part one. And nobody knows, like it says in Matthew 24, verse 36, no man knows the hour or the day but the Father. So the young man would build that apartment on the side of the house, and he would keep building it and get it all perfect the way it's supposed to be. And if you said to him, when's your wedding day? He says, I don't know. Only the Father knows. Amen? Only the Father knows. So, when we come to these verses here, go ye forth to meet the bridegroom. There's a lot of other things. I just want to show you this first. Go ye forth to meet the bridegroom. So, what would happen when, and they always came at night. And when they go to get the bride, they go at night, the midnight hour, you know. So they would, the father would say to them, okay, son, everything is fine, everything looks great, and I have all, everything is provided for the marriage supper and the feast, everything's ready, it's going to be a big celebration, and the friends of the bridegroom would gather at the bridegroom's house, and the bride would be, bridegroom would be dressed in his wedding gown, amen, and he would, they would leave the house together, amen, in the middle of the night. So they got torches burning, and they're blowing shofars, you know. They're blowing and they're shouting, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen? They're shouting as loud as they can all across town, all through the village. And it's a procession of them coming from the father's house. All together, the friends of the bridegroom is like when John the Baptist said, you know, he that hath the bride is the one who is rejoicing, but the friends of the bridegroom rejoice also. And the friends of the bridegroom are the ones going ahead proclaiming the Lord is coming. That's the prophetic company. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's who we are. Because in the last days, says Lord, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This next move is going to be a prophetic move announcing the coming of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
So, and the bride has her virgins with her. Those are her handmaids. On my servants and my handmaids, I'm going to pour out of my spirit, the Lord says. So you're going to see the Holy Ghost and the glory of God come on the women of God throughout the body of Christ, throughout the whole world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's, and on his servants too. So now we have these two, we have this group has left, and they're making their way in the dark, and their torches are burning, and they're celebrating, and they're blowing shofars, and they're shouting, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen? And it's a warning to the bride to get ready. Amen?
Amen.
To get ready. So she's going to put on her wedding gown, and here in this picture, we can assume that she's already has it on, and she's taken all those gifts, and she's adorned herself, and now she's in the waiting, and the virgins are supposed to go outside, trim their oil lamps, and put them on sticks about this long, and hold up their lamps so that the bridegroom and the progression and procession of the bridegroom can find the bride. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So it's all happening at night. So these two, when they meet, finally, they come together, these two companies. Oh, halama shakara barianda. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Things which are in heaven and things which are earth. These are coming from the Father's house, and the bride is waiting for her, for him. Amen. We are the bride waiting for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So here's what happens is that when they come together and he finally meets the bride, amen, the men have brought with them what is called a chariot, but it's really a parion, which is what two poles, and it's a beautiful a box, and that they're gonna, men are gonna carry on their shoulders, and people get in that, and they carry people around. Amen. Now here, the bride steps into that parion, the bridegroom steps into that parion, and they carry the bride and the groom back to the Father's house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, when we look at this contract and this covenant, we see what the Lord has hidden there. Jesus said to them, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring much fruit. Amen?
Amen.
That's marriage talk.
Amen.
And then he said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus was sent by the Father to find a bride, and we are his bride. Amen?
Amen.
And he wrote a covenant. He made a better covenant on better blood, on better promises. Amen?
Yeah.
All the promises of the bridegroom are yea and amen in Christ.
Amen?
Amen. Yea and amen in Christ. Amen? And what in 1 Peter talks about exceeding great and precious promises whereby we are able to partake of the divine nature of God. So these are the promises of that marriage covenant that we have signed. Jesus signed that marriage contract with his own blood.
Amen.
And the night that he said, This is my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't just live with a little piece of the covenant. Live with the whole covenant, the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. He is the covenant, and he is the guarantor of that covenant. Amen?
Amen.
So the Father paid the price in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? And also it says we've been redeemed not with silver and gold and corruptible things from our vain traditions learned from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? He paid for us. He redeemed us. Amen? So he's the bridegroom that has come, and he has chosen us to be his bride. He has chosen us, and he has given us a covenant, a better covenant, on better promises, on better blood, a better hope, a better offering, a better ministry. Everything about Christ is better. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you have to get a hold of this. Amen? And so there we have that. We have that, we see that. But in the Jewish wedding and today, what they will do with the bride and the groom at the wedding supper, they will take the bride in a chair, and they will lift the bride up, and they'll run around the room with the bride. And they will lift up the bridegroom at the same time and run around the room with the bridegroom in a chair. Now, let me ask you this question. When they are carrying the bride back and the bridegroom back to the Father's house, are their feet touching the ground?
No.
They're sitting in the perion, amen? No. Are they on the earth?
No.
Are they in heaven? They're right in between. Amen? They're in the air. Amen? So we see that. We see that. That Jesus will come for us as a thief in the night. Amen? He wants us to be prepared, and he wants us to be ready. He has really spoken this into my heart. He's really challenging me. And, you know, coming here and ministering to you is causing me to go and dig into my word even more than I ever have before. Causing me to really seek God. You know, your the level of power that God gives you is based on purity.
Hallelujah.
I just thought I'd throw that in. And you can't find his purity anywhere else but in his presence.
Hallelujah.
If you will stop and you will shut yourself away and you get into a place where you can start to regularly pray to God, and really get into his presence, and you're all by yourself, and you truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what he says in 1 John. We want to find a place where we can pray and get in contact with his presence and begin to learn how to flow with him in his presence. And every time you're in his presence, more and more of Christ is deposited in you. More and more of Christ begins to manifest in you. Amen?
Amen.
We used to sing an old song that I learned when I was a young Christian. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. That's the old time secret. That, I don't care how much you preach and teach him.
It's
the secret to be into his fellowship with him in his presence. You will have more than enough power. Amen? So, what I want to show you here is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Can you look at that? And he wants us to prepare as a bride preparing to meet the bridegroom. You understand what I'm getting at? He wants us to prepare. And it says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I would not have you, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, you can't get it any plainer. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, from the Father's house. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And all his saints with him. Amen. Can you say that?
Amen.
And with the shout and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In Revelation chapter 1 it says, behold, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of trumpet. Amen. So Jesus is the trumpet of God. Amen. He's the trumpet. In the Old Testament, they made two trumpets, two silver trumpets. But he's going to blow that trumpet. Amen? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen? Now, there's a lot of doctrine and eschatology about this, but I'm just telling you, when you see the wedding, when you see all what I've just told you about the Jewish wedding, you can understand what Jesus is talking wedding when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? He's talking about his wedding night. So they go forth to meet the bridegroom, and five were wise and five were foolish. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and to the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not, in Matthew 25, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. Now we are married to the Lord already. We are betrothed. We are espoused, and we are a virgin bride. The blood of Jesus has washed us, and we're watching, and we're ready. And I used to ask the Lord, I said, I don't know what you mean by watching and praying. And, you know, I just thought I had to be on guard all the time, you know, like that. But, because if you ask, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. If you ask him a question, he will answer you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He loves to answer questions.
Yes.
So they watch and pray for there, for you know not the hour wherein the Son of Man will return for us. So our bridegroom is going to come out of heaven. And we are the bride. So let me just show you a little bit here of how the Lord explained to me. He says, I'm going to anoint the church on the whole planet Earth at one time. I'm going to manifest myself in every member of the body of Christ throughout the world. And he said, it's going to be a dark time. And he said, you're going to go forth, because the gospel of this kingdom must be preached, and then the end shall come. So we are going to go forth and preach the gospel with the power and the glory of God. He's called the Father of glory. Jesus is called the Lord of glory. And Peter talks about the Spirit of glory resting on us. And we won't be able to get the glory off of you. Amen? It'll come on you. It will stay on you. And you will be preaching and teaching and ministering. And you will be laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, all that, mighty signs and wonders and miracles. And then, like the book of Acts, great persecution is going to come against us. Amen?
Amen?
And that's where the bride will be proved. That's where you will be proved, whether you're a Christian or not. Whether you will say, deny the name of Jesus, or you will deny his name and his word. But let me warn you now, never deny his name. Even if they've got a knife to your throat, even if they've got a gun to your head, even if they've got a sword over you, never deny his name. Because you won't feel a thing. You will be, boom, in heaven just like that if they decide to kill you for the gospel. Mm. Amen? There's no fear. He told Smyrna, which is like the church of Myrrh, he told them, fear none of the things which you shall suffer for my name's sake. Man, we're going to be short of food and things like that, but I'm telling you, there's an anointing coming that one brother said the Lord showed him. He said he saw people pointing into the ground and saying, come out of the ground, cabbage, in the name of Jesus. Poof, a cabbage came out in the end time. That kind of creative miracles are coming upon us.
Amen?
Amen? And then they said, come out of the ground, carrots, and whatever they wanted. They just pointed and used the name of Jesus. That kind of creative miracle and creative power is coming on the bride of Christ. Now listen to me. She is adorned with his glory, but she is proved with her sufferings. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be clothed in his glory. And I've been preaching this for 30, 40 years. I mean, I'm telling you. And I told the Lord, I was in Malaysia. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach it anymore. I'm so tired of preaching. And the Lord put me on my face. And he fell on me with his power. And he just let me lay there in his presence. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't understand, Lord. I've been preaching this for 20 years. And I, And then the next day we went to a church, and I just started to sing a song. Come breathe upon me, oh breath of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. And I wasn't even preaching, and the glory of God rolled into the room. And people got healed and delivered instantly. I could not stop it, and I could not start it. It just rolled in. And he said, you know, the way we have church now is going to change completely. So that's what we're hungry for. And then one time I had a dream, and I was in, when we came out of England in 1999, and we came to Mydale, Saskatchewan, and we were very tired and burnt out, and I just quit preaching and teaching and trying to get meetings and all that stuff. And I was driving the car, and the rain, it fell down. I saw it raining. It was raining so hard you couldn't even see through the rain. And the Lord said, this is my latter rain. And then I saw people pop up out of the earth. And they were running with the glory of God and preaching with the name of Jesus. And I didn't know there was people behind me, but they ran and they pushed them back down. But when they pushed that one down, four or five more popped up. And then when they tried to push them down, 10 or 20 popped up.
Hallelujah.
Then 30 or 40. Then 100. Then they couldn't push anybody down. They were. That's the resurrected life. We should walk in the newness of life. The cross is where you come. You enter into the death of the Lord. But that's also where you have the resurrected life. The glory of God is hidden in the cross. The resurrection life is hidden in the cross. The blood of Jesus will wash you from your sins. But the power of the cross will deliver you from yourself. How many have learned that the worst enemy is you?
Yes.
The only one in my way for wanting more of God is me. Not my wife, not my brothers or sisters. It's me, it's my flesh. And the Lord began to show me that I had leprosy. And the Syrian captain of the host, remember the Syrian captain of the host? And he was a great man and used of God and mighty anointed in battle. But he had leprosy. I know those that you have tried that say they are apostles and are not, because they have leprosy. Amen? That's your flesh. The Old Testament type in Leviticus of the flesh is leprosy. And it begins with a little thing. It's just one bad hair. Amen? And if you got leprosy of the tongue, amen? Leprosy of the heart, you see what I'm saying, what we're talking, like gossiping and lying and deceit. We've got to get all that out of our lives, amen? Because the leprosy represents the corruption, amen? You see what I'm getting at? You see what I'm trying to say to you that day? Get rid of the flesh. Get ready. Our bridegroom is coming for us. If you pray 1 hour and you say you've developed yourself, where you've gotten to the point where you're praying every morning and every evening, like they used to offer a lamb in the morning and the evening. And if you have an offering in the morning and you have an offering in the evening and you've got the discipline to do that and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're doing those things, amen? And God is saying, you know, give me another 10 minutes. Give me another 50. He wants more of us and less of Him. Can you say amen? Yeah. And time is what we battle for. You're working, you've got to pay bills and all this stuff. But I know I've retired and I've put everything out of the way so I can go and do what God wants me to do. And He has sent me here to you to get you ready for His glory and His power and to get you ready for affliction and persecution. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, and not to be shaken by it, not to give up, not to quit, not to turn back. Because this is this anointing that's coming on the bride is going to be more powerful. Even the angels have never seen what God's about to do in this next move of God, this next phase, this next section, part two, what He wants to do in these end times. And He's going to use you. Amen. Amen? He wants to use you. Not my generation. You are marked for the glory of God. And that's why we feed on the Word. That's why we we fellowship one with another. That's why we pray. But I really encourage you, if we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we want to fellowship with him in his presence and in prayer.
Amen.
And let him, you know, the woman that came to Jesus with the alabaster box, amen? As long as she held on to that gift, it was no good to her or anybody else. Amen? And God's going to give you gifts of the Holy Ghost. As long as you hold on to your life, your old carnal nature, your old life, you know, we're holding on to something we think, you know, is invaluable, but it isn't. We've got to lose our life to gain our life. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Lose our life to gain our life. Amen? So that woman took that alabaster box, and nard means light. Spiked nard means light. And she broke it open. It's a one-time deal. You've got to get in his presence and let him break you open. Let him deal with you. Be very honest with him. You know, and Lord, till you get to the point that you have no confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
Till you get so much in his presence, you say, Lord, see, I learned this. I learned this. I can do nothing without him. How many know that's in John 15? Amen? Without him, I can do nothing. But the lesson I had to learn as a disciple and to be disciplined by God is that I will do nothing without him. See, without him, I can do nothing. But if you flip that around, I will not do anything without him. I will not do anything that originates in my flesh and in my soul. I will only do what the Holy Ghost brings to me, what he wants me to do. That's the difference. They, Jesus told him to cast the net on the right side, but the net broke the first time. Amen? But after his resurrection, when the same command came, the same result, but now the net didn't break. Amen? So we understand, you know, that one is before resurrection and one is after resurrection. The anointing that's coming on the body of Christ, it will not break the net. Amen? And we're going to catch more fish than you can ever imagine. So watch, therefore. So I didn't understand what watch meant. I thought watch meant like, you know, I'm going to watch around like that. It does mean that. Like if a big dog ran into the room here right now with a full of foam and big teeth and, you know, barking and yelling, we're all, you know, amen. How many of us would, you know, run away? Amen. Amen. I mean, real vicious dog. Amen. When an evil thought comes into your mind, it's the same thing. You've got to stand up against that thing and send it back.
Jesus.
You've got to let your mind become a renewed mind and the mind of Christ. Amen? See, because God wants to anoint you and use you for his glory, but he doesn't want you to take the glory. And that's the trap. Amen? Do you know that song that came out of Africa that says, "We give you all the glory"? Amen. We give you all the glory. See that? Amen.
Amen.
That's what has to come into your, through the process and the work and the transformation of the Holy Ghost. You know, that's what has to come into your mind. No. We give you all the glory, Lord. Before you anoint us, before you use us, before you bless us. Even in the trial, even in the test, even when the enemy is buffeting my body and I can feel the temptation and I know what he wants me to do, but my mind has been renewed in Christ and I say no and I resist the devil. As soon as I say no, God steps in. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm trying to get you ready. I'm trying to warn you to watch and pray. So I used to pray and be in his presence and then God would reveal something to me. And then the Lord would reveal something to me, and he was telling me to watch and pray about that situation. By revelation. You can speak by doctrine, by knowledge, or by revelation. I'd rather speak by revelation. It's best to speak after the Spirit speaks to you. It's best to follow. To follow, you must hear. Amen? Anyway, I'm doing my best to get this across to you, because last Monday when I went home, and this is not a sad story, but last Monday when I went home, remember last Monday when last weekend we had meetings and it was wonderful? Yeah. I went home. The first phone call I got was that my older brother, the doctors had given him 2 days to live. I said, "Amen, Lord, what a good time to take him home." Amen? See, death came knocking at the door. Amen. Praise God. And I went and I wept. My brother phoned me and said, you know, goodbye, I love you and all this stuff. And he's still alive, but they know that he's got a couple more days. So, you know, I didn't fall into depression or sadness or anything. I began to say, thank you, Father God. It's the right time. You know, it's the right time. He's got his house in order. He has accepted you. And he hasn't served you, Lord, but he has accepted you. And I know that if I believe on the Lord thy God, me and my household shall be saved. And that's the scripture God gave me the next day. You see, while I was ministering to his family, you, he was ministering to my family. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm taking a little bit longer today because I know I won't be seeing you for a little while. But I know, God, you know we're always praying for you and that we love you and that we think about you all the time. You know, every time if I'm at home, you know, and I'm cutting the lawn or something or whatever, every time I think of the Nigerian church, the power of God comes on me.
Amen.
It just starts to flood up from within me. You know, the Holy Ghost comes in you and on you at the same time. Like the tabernacle, within and on at the same time. So, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to teach them? What are you doing with me, Lord? And Lord, you know, teach them how to be broken open. Let them. It's better to fall on the rock and be broken. Your heart has to be broken open by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the outer man can't control you anymore.
Glory.
So the inner man gets his way. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So a year has gone by, and now they're going to come together and be married. They go back to the father's house, and they have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? And that bride is shut in for 7 days with her bridegroom. When she finally does put her blood on that cloth, the friend of the bridegroom rejoices because he hears the consummation of the wedding. He stands at the door, like it says there in John 3:20. He stands there, and they pass out that thing and say, she's a virgin. She was a virgin. See what I mean? So God is going to bless us and adorn us with his glory. Then he's going to prove that we are Christians.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm getting at? God is going to prove, and he's going to put persecution against us, allow it to come, to prove that we are true to him. That's what he's talking about.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Amen?
Amen. How many believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm just going to say one more thing. I'm just going to pray. In the old tabernacle, in the temple, when Solomon built the new temple, I've told you this before, the tabernacle was still standing. They took everything out of the tabernacle, and the Levite priesthood, which is us, they walked across and they carried it into that temple, which was 10 times greater and more glorious than the tent. Amen? So they carried not only the Ark of the Covenant, covered with a blue cloth and all this stuff, and the Ark of the Covenant, the glory of God, is meant to be rested on the shoulders of the priesthood. Amen? We carry the glory of God, and we're going to carry the glory of God. And then they took out all the holy vessels. How many want to be a holy vessel? Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. And the Lord said, he's going to get us ready. They had all the singers there, all the princes, all the kings, everybody. And they brought it into the greater temple. And now the old tabernacle is empty, but some people still wanted to go back and worship in the old tabernacle. Amen. It's empty. But there's a battle coming in the church right now. When the glory of God and the supernatural power of God begins to manifest, there's a group of people that will rise up and say, no, that's not God. And they're going to run away from it. And they're going to try to go back into the old tabernacle. But the new temple, the greater temple, is the body of Christ. Amen? We are Solomon's temple now. Amen? And the greater temple. So God was showing me things to come. We've not received the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know freely the things that are given to us of God. Amen? We have received the Holy Ghost. And the word unction means smeared. When God's Spirit manifests in your spirit, you're being under the unction. And you can't function without an unction. Amen? You need the power of God, the anointing that abides in you, to flow out of you. And you've got to be broken open so that the anointing can flow out of you and minister to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen? I know I'm saying a lot of things, but these are things to come.
Yeah.
I'm getting you ready. I'm getting you ready. I'm strengthening you, trying to edify you, get you ready. Take up the cross. Like I said, if I ask how many would like to carry the ark, you'd all put up your hands. But you have to take up the cross every day. Deny yourself and follow after Christ. And you can't follow unless you hear. If I don't tell you, stand up and come follow me, you're not going to follow me. You've got to hear God in your spirit. Where nobody else can get to God in your spirit but you. Amen? I know you guys know your word. I know you know your Bible. But I'm telling you things to come. I'm telling you, this bridegroom is about to come from heaven. The time is very short.
Oh, yes.
Very short. In fact, you know, the Lord has really dealt with me about my selfishness. He told me, I said, I'm a prisoner of your selfishness. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me. I'm a prisoner of your selfishness. Is that too much message? Is that too hard? Do you know that your selfishness is keeping Jesus in the tomb? My people, which are called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Amen. I would hear from heaven. And I would heal their land. I'd forgive their sins. But the wicked way there, if we brought it up into our 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we brought that up into the New Testament, we'd have to say, my church, and who I've given my name to, if my church would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their selfish ways. Self wants to rule, like our brother was preaching. Self wants to be on the throne. But we got to dethrone self by the power of the cross and allow Christ to reign. How many know that song? Reign. How many know that song? Reign, Jesus, reign. Amen. You should sing it like this. Reign, Jesus, reign. Over me. Amen. Reign over me. Amen. All right, I'm sorry I'm going on here, but I want you to know that God's dealing with me deeply. Me and my wife have been married 35 years. We still have problems. We still got issues that God's dealing with. But you know, the Bible says if we submit ourselves one to another, amen? So if I take up the cross and my wife takes up the cross and God deals with my anger problem, but he doesn't deal with her anger problem, and she refuses to let, or I refuse to let God deal with my anger problem, and she lets the Lord crucify her anger. She puts off the old man. She puts off the anger. But I don't put off the anger. Now, don't matter how you counsel there, you're not going to come to oneness, unity there. The cross has to be between you and your husband.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. You understand what I'm getting at? So, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, like it says in Ephesians 5, means we both have knelt down and we both have said this to the Lord. We both kneeled down and the cross is before us. Oh, Father in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus, forgive me for my selfish, dominating, controlling ways. You've got to pray like that. And forgive me for trying to manipulate or to intimidate or to use anything but your love. Now the cross can work in your marriage. Now the cross, and my wife would probably pray differently. But I'm not praying this way. This is how I used to pray. Oh Lord Jesus, crucify my wife. You see what I mean? That's selfish. And I used to pray like that. You know, Lord, just deal with her, Lord. You know, throw her in that hot furnace. Whatever you have to do, amen. Amen? But you see what I mean? That's selfish praying. You see? But then God began to say to me, I began to do this, like he said, Kim, you can get an anointing for the body of Christ, and you can pray and lay hands when I anoint you, and people are healed and delivered and set free when I anoint you. Amen. And then God began to anoint me for her. God began to anoint me for her. And I'd be praying, oh, thank you, Father. And all of a sudden, his compassion would come upon me. And I begin to weep and pray with Holy Ghost contrite and brokenness and Father, and have God's love for her. Because my love was controlling and dominating, but his love was liberating.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, I had a lot of insecurity about money, so I don't like it when she shops. Amen. She doesn't have that. She'll spend that like crazy. Anyway, so I'd be praying, you know. But now she's praying, Lord, work the cross in my life. Give me your love for my husband. Give me your grace, Lord. Give me your mercy. I see all his faults, all his shortcomings. I see his leprosy. I see all these things, Lord. But you love him and give me your love to love him with. And Lord, I see all the shortcomings and failures and faults in my wife. Lord, but I see Christ in her too, Father God, and I pray for your gifts and your anointing. Anoint her with the Holy Ghost and power. Let her be an anointed helpmate to me, Lord. Let us stay submitted to the cross, Father God. The self doesn't get into our marriage.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Because that's what the problem with our marriage was, independence. It wouldn't die. So God gave her gifts, he gave me gifts, and told us to get married. And I thought, well, her gifts and my gifts will just dovetail together like this. But it wasn't. It was fighting, quarreling and strife, arguments. My flesh and her flesh were fighting for control of the marriage. Amen? Too much?
No. No.
Amen. So let's ask God to deal with the selfishness. You cannot crucify yourself. You can only surrender to God and let him do that work. Amen.
Amen.
Now we can pray together. Now we can work together. Now we can walk together. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough. Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know we are married to you. We are married. I agree with the covenant, Lord. I agree with your choice. You have chosen us, Father God. We are betrothed to you and married for you and waiting for the return of our bridegroom. And you are our bridegroom. Lord, help us to watch and pray. Help us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow after you, Father God. And do your will in this end time hour, Lord. Oh, that we may rejoice with you at the merry supper of the Lamb, Father God. That you will not send us out, Lord. You will not keep us out of the merry, but we would be part of the merry supper of the Lamb, Father God. We would be the bride of Christ for you, Lord. In righteousness and holiness, Lord, as the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, Father God, to purify and cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, Father God. All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. We put off the old man and put on the new man, Father. Put on our wedding garment today, Father God. Put on Christ today, Father God. And walk in the Spirit, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm praying that you will get a hold of that. And you will let God do that work in you. How many would just say, yes, I'm going to let God do that work in you? Amen. That's all you're ever going to hear about from me is the cross and preaching and getting crucified with Christ and being resurrected with Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless whoever wants to close the service, may.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Sovereign Lord, I'm
It is very evident from what the Lord is saying to us today that the Lord is showing us that the way to actualize his divine nature can only be actualized by the way of the cross. The Lord is pointing us back to his nature, to his original intent that he had designed us for, that we might have his image and his likeness, and that for us to come into that estate, that we might, that we must find our way back to the cross. So we are going to pray. We are going to pray that the Lord will deal with flesh within us. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he said unto them, if any man would come after me." So the word there is if. It means it's a condition. It's not when. It's if. Meaning it's a decision. If any man would make a decision to come after me, it's a free will call. If. It's not when. When means it's a compulsory event that is indicative of a time. But if means it's a conditional event. If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In that particular verse, we see that what will show the man the way to actually follow him is the cross. He must first take up the cross, and then he can actually see clearly to follow me.
Yes.
Very simple, you know, prayer line that we're going to pray. That the Lord will grant us help to take up our cross daily. It will be a daily event. It will not be every Sunday. You come to Sunday, you listen to the word, the message, and you go back sober. But every day, yes. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every morning, you would ask that God, give me that cross. I want to carry your cross. I want to deny myself. I want to deny my flesh of all the appetites. I want to deny all those things, be it backbiting. I would not be among the group that would gossip, even religiously.
Yes.
I will not call two or three brethren and say, come, let's pray for this brother, because this brother, he's doing it. I will not gossip religiously.
Amen.
Every gossiping, every backbiting today, we come to an end.
Amen.
Let us open our mouth and begin to pray that the Lord will grant us help to deny ourselves. That the Lord will grant us grace to deny ourselves, to deny the flesh, the appetite that it desires. That the Lord will work love in us. There are two prayer points there. One prayer point is to ask the Lord to deny, that Lord will help us to deny ourselves of the appetite of the soul, and that the Lord will give us the grace to carry the cross. He said to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, that the Lord will enable us to carry our cross daily, to be a daily event. For the scripture says that we delight of the law of God after the inward man, that the Lord will walk on towards, working towards the ability to live the reality of it. That we will walk in love. We will walk in love. For perfect love casteth fear. For fear has torment in it. That we will not live in fear anymore. But perfect love will cast out every thought of fear in us.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that enough is enough. That the Lord will walk in us, dead to self, both in our relationship with our brethren, even in our relationship with our couples. It's a married relationship. But the scripture has made it clear to us that God has said to us, He said, I have loved you with a godly jealousy, and I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you to Christ as a chaste virgin.
Yes.
That God will walk in this church, that the Lord will walk in this church in this time, a church without spot or wrinkle, a church that will come as a chaste virgin to Christ, a church that will be made ready, a church that will be made prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus.
We are going to take just one more line of prayer, and I was just praying, it was just impressing my spirit. That we're going to pray for God to make us ready for His coming.
Yes.
For the Lord is set to come. The words have been resounding more and more and more. And the scriptures, the Lord said to His disciples, He says, do not let your hearts to be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and the cares of this life. That day, which is what is that day? The day of the Lord will come to you unaware. We are going to pray that the Lord will make His church ready. And I trust God for His help, as even as the Lord used, you know, Uncle while he was preaching, Uncle Kim, he points at the marriage between Christ and the church, and he points at the actual marriage, the marriage between man and a woman. And scripture tells us that they are parallel one to another. And we know that even the marriage of the individuals of the church is the basic unit of the church.
Yes.
So there is no church without a godly marriage. So we are going to pray two lines of prayer. We are going to pray that the Lord will walk even in our marriage. For as many as are married, we pray. For as many as are not married, we pray for their coming marriage. That the Lord will walk righteousness in their marriage. We will not be as one who will be praying and say, God, walk on my wife. The wife will be praying, God, walk on my husband. But we would subject ourselves to the word of God, that the word of God will reveal Christ in us. That we will examine ourselves with the word of God, whether we be in the faith. That the word of God will try us. We will use the word of God to examine our day-to-day life, and even as the way we relate with our spouse. So we're going to pray, it's a two in one prayer. We're going to pray that the Lord will make us ready in our marriages and even with our marriage with Christ. So the Lord will work readiness in the church. That the church will be made ready, a church without spot or wrinkle for the coming of the Lord. So that is just the prayer, and then that's just the last prayer we'll pray. So let's just open our hearts and pray that the Lord will make us ready for His coming. That the Lord will make us ready, that our marriage, which is supposed to be an enhancement, will not be to us as a stumbling block. That the marriage will not be to us a reason why the Lord will say, depart from me. That the Lord will walk in us and walk love. Unconditional love, a love that is not dependent on what my spouse does to me, a love that is not dependent on what my brethren has done to me, not a love that is responsive, but a love that is unconditional.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. How many are now working here now again? 14, you said?
Okay, well, I want to show you what God taught me about giving, because he's been challenging me to give and give and give all that I can give, because he wants to bless me more. So there's $500 here, and so I'm going to give it to Sister, and she's going to give each one of you $50, and I'll bring back another for the, I guess that would be 10, right, for $50 each? And then I'm going to go get some more money, and then I'll give it to her, and then she can give to those that don't get their $50 today. They'll get it right on Saturday. So, I need to go to Nigeria, and I don't have any money. Amen? So if I just take 10% of this and tithe it, amen, and give it, amen? Is that correct? Amen? Is that the correct thing to do? All right. But that would leave me with 450. But I want God to bless me with $5,000, but not from any one of you. You're not allowed to give me any money. Okay? So I need $5,000, I'm not giving what I have, I'm giving according to what I need. Alright, watch this. Now, you see that? Okay, now, here, hang on. Okay, just wait a second. How much money do I have now? No, you didn't get it.
$5,000.
Now, God will challenge you like this. He's really challenging me about giving because I was so cheap, I had squeezed a quarter on a Canadian loonie till that bird cried. Amen? I was cheap, man, really cheap. She's bearing witness to that. So, now, how much money do I have in my hand?
$500.
If I tie 10%, that's the size of my giving. That's the spoon that I'm giving. With what measure you measure, shall be measured unto you. So I'm not in the prosperity doctrine all that. Just relax. But the Lord taught me this. So I was up in Alaska doing this, and the Lord challenged me that way. And I had $300, and every night there was three young kids, and I gave them the $300. And I asked them the same question: how much money do I have now?
$5,500.
If I gave you $5,000 right now, you'd be jumping around. Amen? How much money do I have?
$4,500.
$5,000. Amen? Excuse me? By faith. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to activate your faith in your giving. Go ahead and give when God challenges you to give. Don't give it to me. You're not allowed to give me money. Amen? You see what I mean? Because some people, well, he's just doing that so he'll get $5,000 off of God. No. God was my source. God is my provider. So I'm blessing her to bless you, although you know all the ones that are not working, and I'll bring back another $200, so 14 will be all included. Amen? So you'll each get $50 today for those that are not working. And I'm telling you from the Holy Spirit, every time I've come, God has got jobs for you.
Amen.
God has got jobs for you.
Amen. Amen.
So you got to believe that. You got to grab that. I'm not speaking by myself here. I'm speaking from the Holy Spirit. So now, in the faith realm, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believing you have received them, you shall have them. Amen. I believe I have received $5,000 right now. Not, it's not coming, it's been done.
Amen.
Now one more thing I'm going to say, and this is the end of it. I promise. I was preaching in a place of sexual abuse one time, and just like the other night, and some children were there, and I was going down the prayer line, and a little girl tugged me on my shirt. She's only 8 years old, but she had been thoroughly abused. And her mother and father were into alcohol and drugs. And she said, "Pray for me. I've been abused." So I laid my hands, I just started weeping immediately. I laid my hands on her and I prayed for her, and she was laying on the floor and she was weeping. And then my wife said to me, "Let's take that little girl downtown tomorrow and buy her a nice dress and clothes and, you know, some ribbons for her hair." And at that time she wanted a Walkman, you know, it'd be like a cell phone now. But that's what she wanted, was a Walkman. So we took her and we did all that, and then she was in the back of the car, the back of the van, and I was driving down the road, and she said this to me. She said, she didn't call me Brother Paige, but she says, "You know, when you prayed for me yesterday," she said, "Jesus came and hugged me. One hug from him will heal everything, if you'll let him hug you." And then she said, and I was talking to him, he was talking to me. I said, well, what were you talking about? And she said, I asked him, I said, Lord, she's only 8 or 9 years old. I want my mom and dad to be delivered or set free from drugs and alcohol. And she just left me hanging like that. And I'm still driving down the road. And then she said, do you know what the Lord said to me? I said, no. She said, done. Not going to be done. Done. So when you believe with God, when God speaks to you, you believe, it's done. It's done. See what I'm getting at? That's where our faith has to be. Amen? Done. When God speaks to you and he begins to draw you out and pull you out out further than your faith has ever been, he calls the things that are not as though they are. They're done. When the Holy Ghost says it to you, it's done. Amen?
Amen.
So, as far as this is concerned, I have got $5,000. It's done.
Amen.
See what I mean?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I go to the bank with that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord will never fail me. He's never failed me.
Amen.
He'll never fail you either.
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you learn how to do that.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise. We adore you. We thank you for your mighty presence that is with us. We extol your King. We magnify you. We say you alone are our God. You alone are our King. And we say all
yes.
power, honor, majesty
oh.
be unto you. We thank you even for your word that you have given unto us this morning. Your words of life.
Yes.
For you said that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we thank you for imparting life unto us this morning. For we know that whenever you speak forth your word never returns to you void. But it accomplishes that which it has been sent to do. Therefore, we thank you for the work that your word has come to do in us this morning. And we say all glory, honor, and majesty be unto you.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the prophetic word that has come unto us.
Yeah.
That indeed you are anointing your church.
Yes.
You are anointing your bride.
Yes.
Making her ready, adorning her in order that you may consummate our union with you. But we count it a privilege. We count it an honor. But we thank you for these provisions. For even as we have been espoused unto you,
yes,
married unto you legally by covenant by your blood.
Yes,
you didn't stop it there, but you gave us every provision which we are even enjoying right now in this room in order that we might be made ready.
Yes,
Lord, we ask that you grant us grace.
Yes.
We ask that you grant us wisdom.
Amen.
To put to practice, to put to use that which you have made available unto us. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You said that you have given us your spirit in order that we might know the things that have been freely given unto us. And you said in your word that it is the spirit, yea, the spirit that subject and knows even the deep things of God.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we come to you. For even this was the word. You said, this is the word that I give unto Zerubbabel.
Mm.
You said, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So Lord, we ask that you empower us by your spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
Equip us by your spirit.
Amen.
To be able to do, the things that you have given unto us in this world. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Beyond what we have heard, we ask, oh Lord, that you bring to our remembrance these glorious truths that has been spoken unto us. For your word says that once have I spoken, and twice have I heard. Lord God, we pray that even beyond the hearing of the natural ears, Lord God, we pray for the hearing of faith.
Amen. Yes.
For a hearing of spiritual understanding.
Yes.
That shall bring forth a reality.
Amen.
Of these words of life that you have spoken unto us.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask that you grant us grace to follow. Speaks of those who are with the Lamb for one time. Says there are those who follow the Lamb. With us all.
Hallelujah.
Those who are not distracted by the wounds of the flesh. Those who are not distracted by the wounds of the spirit of the world. But they have their mind and their gaze focused on the bridegroom. Lord God, we ask that you keep our gaze on you.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you,
keep
Jesus.
Our hearts
Hallelujah.
Fixed on you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Not distracted.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But a people who, as it were, be shut in. A people who will go and separate themselves to you and to you alone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Keeping themselves chaste, pure. With garment on the fire. We ask the Lord that you grant us grace to keep our garments spotless.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Our garment without spot and wrinkle.
Yes.
That we might be presented unto you as your bride.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, once again, we ask that you help us. In our daily living, we know that it is not a literal cross that we are to carry. But even that cross which is within us, in our hearts, putting to death daily the flesh, we ask, O Lord, that let that cross be a reality within us.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In our daily living, in our daily conversations, in our workplace, in the school, wheresoever we are, let us carry this consciousness of your cross within our hearts.
Amen.
That we might boldly declare, like Paul, that we are being crucified daily.
Yes.
He said that this life that I live, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
Lord God, we ask that grant us grace to live by your faith.
Amen.
Not to live by our own faith, but to live by your faith.
Amen.
And to know the love that caused you to lay down your very life for us. Lord, cause us to know that love.
Amen.
In order that we ourselves might be willing to lay down our lives.
Amen.
That we might be willing to lose ourselves, to lose our soul. In order that we might gain and take up your that we might lose our mind.
Amen.
That we might lose our will.
Amen.
That we might lose our desire.
In the name of Jesus.
That we might lose our emotions, our affections.
Amen.
And lay it down on the altar.
Amen.
In order that we might take up only your. In order that we might take up your mind.
Amen.
In order that we might take up your will.
Amen.
In order that we might take up your desire.
Amen.
And in order that we might take up your affections.
Amen.
And your emotions. And Lord, we also ask that you grant us grace to wait.
Amen.
Grant us grace to tarry.
Amen.
Grant us, we ask that, Lord, we do not want to be in haste.
Oh, yes.
But we ask for grace to tarry, to wait. For we know even you, who is the bridegroom, who is the coming one.
Yes.
Lord, though grant us grace to wait patiently for it.
Amen.
We do not want to do things by our flesh or by our own zeal or by our own carnal efforts. Jesus. But Lord, we ask that you grant us grace to wait on you. Amen. Grant us grace to wait till we hear your voice.
Amen.
That just as you said, of my own self, I can do nothing. Of my own self, I am nothing. Lord, we ask that you grant us grace to wait till we hear your voice.
In the name of Jesus.
Till we hear that wooing, that leading. Till we have that drawing after you that will cause us to run along with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we pray that we shall experience the fruit of this word.
Yeah.
We shall experience the fruit of this word. Even this seed of life that has been sown in our hearts shall not be taken away.
Amen.
Of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
But it shall bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Unto eternal life.
Amen.
It shall bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Unto good works.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord God, we pray even for your son that you have used.
Amen.
Oh, Father. We thank you for your
strength.
We thank you for the dealings that you have taken with
you. Oh, yes.
Father, Lord God, we pray that even you who is faithful, and even you who has begun this good and glorious work in his life, Lord God, we pray that you shall bring it to completion.
Amen.
You shall bring it to perfection.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord God, we pray that even as he is preaching these things unto us, Lord God, we pray that he shall not be a castaway.
In the name of Jesus.
But rather his words, he himself shall be a first fruit partaker.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you for the glorious ministry that you have committed to us. Lord, we pray that you continue to grant him grace to be faithful.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
To be faithful to the core.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We pray that he shall not grow weary.
In the name of Jesus.
But he shall continue to grow from strength to strength.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for him to strengthen his shoulders, broaden
yes.
his shoulders,
oh,
and continue to equip him.
Yes, Lord.
With every resource, spiritually, physically, financially, every resources that he
yes,
needs to be able to fulfill and accomplish this work according to your pleasure.
Yes,
Lord God, we pray that you shall grant it unto him.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord, we receive it, Lord. We receive it.
Father, Lord God, we just thank you.
Thank you,
Lord God, we pray that as we even begin to go forth into this new week, Lord God, we pray that we shall begin to see evidences. Manifestations of these words that you have given to us.
Of Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. And we ask, oh Lord, that even as your anointing within us, he says, you have the anointing, the unction within, and he shall teach you all things. We ask, oh Lord, that as we go to our separate closets, we ask, oh Lord, that you continue to even give us more light.
Amen.
And you continue to give us even more understanding.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Sir, just one thing. Can we also just pray for his brother that he mentioned as well? You said your brother is in the hospital.
We gotta let him go home.
Oh, you want to let him go?
To yeah, we want to let him go.
Okay, okay.
You can pray, though. That's good. Pray
okay.
That the all family right. doesn't hold him.
Okay. Okay. All right, okay. Go. I mean, I...
Go ahead, pray.
All right.
That's really good.
So, wait. You want
to the Lord to take him.
So you want the Lord to take him?
Is that what he wants?
Oh, okay, okay. All right, then...
He wants okay. to go home. He's ready to
oh,
go home.
Oh, he wants to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
We don't want to hold him here. We
okay.
Want
all right.
Most families sense. Try to hold them back.
Ask for
and he wants to go.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Just
all right.
Pray to come that God will also bring peace.